Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host, the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Chris Logi. Say hi to the people, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah, we're got a small crowd this weekend. That's to be expected. It's Thanksgiving, or at least the weekend after Thanksgiving. Let's be honest, a lot of us are kind of still dealing with the food coma afterwards. We Americans, when Thanksgiving comes, we tend to eat pretty much the biggest meal we have all year. It's literally the one holiday we have in America that is specifically dedicated to stuffing your face with the fattiest stuff you can get your hands on. As you can imagine, it usually takes us a couple days to recover afterwards. Chris, by all accounts, has managed to bounce back much faster than I have. Because, of course, he has. He's a few years younger than I am. Bastard. But, anyway.
We're the same age.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, same day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. We're both 35. Okay. Okay, like I said, still recovering from the food coma. Apparently it's affected my brain. All right. Anyway, this episode is going to be for November 27th, 2021. It is the last show of the month and the last show until the start of the Christmas season. That's right, folks. It is sneaking up on us fast. I actually started hearing Christmas music 6 o'clock Thanksgiving Day.
I make sure I'm not in any situation to hear it.
You're driving home and you've got the radio.
Yeah. I thought of just Salvation Army people just randomly shouting lyrics from various Christmas songs as they transition from one to the next. Doing like a couple lines of one, then go on to another one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, whatever.
Yeah. Whereas me, it's, you know, you're in the car on the way home at 6 o'clock at night, and, you know, because of the way the time changes, it gets dark faster, and all of a sudden you hear frickin' Mariah Carey on the radio, and it's like, Thanksgiving's not even over yet. It's literally only 6 o'clock at night. Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah.
But yeah, so, obviously, with Christmas season also means that the year is going to be coming to a close, which means on top of a bunch of other stuff here at Splash Pad, we're going to be getting our, not only our Christmas stuff, but we're also going to be doing our Game of the Year list. So, be looking for those in the next few weeks. But before we get to any of that, what will we be discussing this week? Well, that another trial came to a close. This one was in my home state of Georgia. The man who killed Ahmaud Arbery. We also got some people exonerated from wrongful convictions from some historic crimes. And, joy of joys, there's a new COVID variant. Although, before you get too worried, they identified it pretty fast. Most countries have taken precautions, and it looks like the effects of it are not terribly severe to begin with. But we'll be doing all that, and it's a couple of entertainment stories. We don't really have a very robust show this week again because, you know, it was just Thanksgiving, and pretty much everybody this week was focused entirely on that. But some stuff did happen, and we will be talking about that. So, before we do all of that, Chris, tell us what you've been doing this week, you know, other than Thanksgiving.
We have entered snow season. That was partly part of the reason it took me a bit to get home after work. Partly I just had to go to Best Buy and pick up a few of my Black Friday orders that had been saying I'll be ready by Monday. But as soon as I got to work, I started getting text updates like, oh, it's ready now.
Yeah.
For each of them. So I was like, ooh, I'll go pick that up. But that took a little bit longer, especially because the snow was coming down. pretty good. And the drive home, following people are driving 20 miles under the limit.
Yep.
Even though it's not, like, bad out. The snow's sticking, but it's not causing, you know, a slick road. Because it's the first snow of the season that's sticking. But to get a good, like, half inch on people's cars. So that was fun, having to wipe that off, but that was roughly about it. But yeah, that's that whole thing that's going on. I did get, let's see, I got Guardians of the Galaxy for half off. That was one of the things I got. I got a Stream Deck for streaming purposes. I got a Stream Deck. Do some fancy stuff and maybe stupid stuff as well. I got a new headset for my PC because my other one broke a couple weeks ago. And I wanted to get that replaced. It's not the exact same model, but it's the next one up. It's like they discontinued my old model. So the Logitech, I think, G432, something like that. So that's good. I'm looking forward to getting into that stuff and messing with it. But yeah, I watched a bunch of stuff on Thanksgiving. I got around to watching Hawkeye, the two episodes they put up for the first week on Disney Plus. That it's pretty good. Hawkeye is a weird character because it feels like they want to put more emotional weight on his storylines than maybe Jeremy Renner can handle, can act. So he just, like the past couple things he's done, has just been very trying to act like he is emotionally weighed down by the killing and such, as he was, you know, the Ronin during, I think, the second of the Thanos movies, where, you know, he just goes into, I don't know if he went to Japan, but he was very much taking on a lot of criminal organizations, triads, all that kind of stuff, killing people to take out his grief of losing his family, I guess. And they set this whole thing, at least these first two episodes, up in the backdrop of, it's Christmas time. You know, because that's when it's coming out, about during Christmas time. And of course, his plans to have, you know, family time doesn't work out as other things are going on, and finds out that there is somebody in his Ronin outfit causing some mischief of sorts. And he finds out it's another, you know, archery expert of sorts, and is trying to get to the bottom of what's been going on. So that's kind of where the two episodes are kind of going. Some decent stuff there. I'm curious to see how it goes, but I don't think the Hawkeye character is all that interesting. But yeah, that was that. I was watching some of the Blu-ray stuff I had on, that I got as also part of Black Friday stuff. I watched Jojo Rabbit. Which I liked a lot.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, especially the time frame is set is like in the latter parts of World War II.
It's roughly about a couple of years or so. It's roughly like the last few months or so before the Allies invade Germany.
So much so at the end, it's like the whole revelation that Hitler has killed himself rather than be captured. And so when Taika Waititi's Hitler shows up at the end, he's got a big bloody spot on his head. Presumably where he got shot, where he shot himself. But he's great because he is the kid's imagination of what Hitler is like. And he's often very silly and ridiculous throughout, especially doing some fun bits with the kid, like where they are getting made fun of for not wanting to kill a rabbit. And he gets like psyched up to go do a thing, goes with Hitler, like running through the forest, you know, yelling. And then He goes and steals a grenade from his, whatever, the guy that's running the camp. He goes to throw it, and it doesn't go where he wants it to go.
Nope.
And that kind of sets off the course of the rest of the movie, where he's kind of not near any sort of combat scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
But also his best friend in that movie is the kid that he plays the main kid in the new Home Alone movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, that's weird. He was a Nazi a few years ago. So
he was a Hitlerjugend.
Yeah. But then I watched some of the other Blu-rays I got were two older holiday movies I hadn't ever seen. There's Scrooged.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is pretty good. I wasn't watching it 100%. I was doing some other stuff while I was watching it, but it seemed pretty good. Very much Bill Murray in his most Bill Murray. Making jokes and sarcasm and all that. Set on the backdrop of doing his version of the Scrooge thing. It's a very, very weird sort of thing they're doing, because he's a network exec setting up this like over the top version of the Christmas tale, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Complete to the point they have a censor there who's like complaining about how they got skimpy girls dancing and all that kind of stuff, but she gets the shit beat out of her constantly. As accidents happen around the set, that kind of stuff. But that was pretty good. But it's also watching like this, I was like, holy shit, these people are all in it. Like Bobcat Goldthwait, presumably like early on in his career is in this. I noticed a bunch of people that were in other stuff I liked a lot. So that was fun to see. The other one was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which I'd never seen as well.
Yeah, that one's a classic.
Yeah, that one's pretty good, but it's also like
Steve Martin and John Candy. Yeah.
Yeah. And randomly, like, Kevin Bacon's in the verse, like, 5 minutes.
Yep.
And never shows up again.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty common for him in his early career. Yeah, he would just... Yeah. He largely was sort of a bit player at first, at least until Footloose.
It's like, here's the dad from Ferris Bueller. Mm-hmm. Is in it. He plays Steve Martin's brother-in-law, something like that. I don't know what his role is, his relation, because he's was like, God damn, there's so many good actors in this. The old guy from Home Alone that the mom pleads to swap tickets with.
Yeah,
he's on the one train or plane, I guess. Then it's like snoring on his shoulder.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. There's a lot of people. I was like, holy shit, I know so many of these people from other things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was pretty good. That's kind of it for the holidays or the holiday stuff and the things I've been watching. I'll probably be watching the second half of the new He-Man thing, the Kevin Smith He-Man show, Masters of the Universe, because that just came out. I didn't have a chance to sit down and watch it. But yeah, then one of the other Black Friday things I got was Balan Wonderworld for $15, and I was like, that was the one thing that was available right away. They had no problems keeping that in stock.
Nope.
I picked that up on Wednesday and did a stream with that, because I wanted to see what the hell this game was. I played the demo and wasn't very fond of it. I seen a little bit of like Giant Bomb playing it and was like, all right, I kind of have to see what this is, especially for like $15. I'll probably try and keep streaming it. Play through the first two chapters, and at its core, it's kind of an all right game, but there's a lot of weird design decisions that make it a bad game.
Yeah.
like one of the focuses is on these costumes that often are just slightly different from others. At one point, I had three costumes where the key attribute of them was that they gave you a longer jump. One was like more of a Yoshi-ish jump where you kind of had him like flapping his legs as he kind of went a little bit higher at the end. Another one just had you essentially put a bubble under your character and like floated over. And I forget what the third one was. I think it was just a... It essentially did the same thing as the sort of Yoshi-ish thing, but you didn't have to hold down the jump button. It's like, those are three costumes. They have five per chapter. I think there's 12 chapters in the game. And the other weird thing is, like, once you unlock a costume, you don't keep it. If you get hit or, like, fall to your death or whatever, you lose that costume. You have to go back, get a key, and then unlock it again. And you can only have three active at once. So if you, and it's like a lot of stuff you have to learn just by trial and error. It doesn't ever tell you anything up front with how it works. So if you have three already and you get a new costume, you want to put the one you want to get rid of on the far right slot. And then that gets pushed out, and then that is put back in your sort of inventory. You can have like multiples of the same costumes. But if you lose access to a costume, you literally have to go back to the stage where you get it and go unlock it again. So it's like a potential of you just having to replay stages, literally just to get things back that would be useful in other areas. It's a lot of like poor decisions. I think you could just make it easier on people by just, you get it once, you just have access to it at any point. A lot of things like that. So yeah, there's a lot of weird decisions like that. That just like, okay, I see why this is bad. If it was more fair to the end player, it's like, this must be kind of like a kid's game almost. And it's full of a lot of bullshit that even as an adult just makes things more tedious and annoying, much less for kids that can be fine with that kind of stuff. But yeah, also been playing some more Halo Infinite. They got their first like holiday event going on, and it's much like the Battle Pass. It's also not great. A lot of weird stuff going on with that, but yeah, that's just more of the same. Annoyances and all that are just kind of piling up with that kind of stuff. In contrast with that, I've been playing more Rocket League, and that game is just still so much fun. New season, I got some fun stuff to unlock, so yeah, excited to have a new season, new battle pass there to work my way through. My only issue is I'm just stinking it up here early on in the season, so that's kind of that. So that's been pretty much it for me, Brandon. How about you?
Well, as for me, I played and finished the first Dishonored, which is something I never got around to doing back when the game originally came out. And yeah, that game always impresses me with just the sheer scope of the level design of those games, because the whole sort of point behind Dishonored is you're essentially given the goal of assassinating a certain individual, kind of sort of like Hitman, but the difference is that with, unlike Hitman, in Dishonored, you know, other than the fact that it's in the first person perspective, you're given a lot of tools at your disposal where you can traverse pretty much every part of the game world that you can encounter, and you're specifically encouraged not to cause as much chaos as you possibly can. So you try to make sure you don't end up killing a lot of people. You try to make sure that you're not seen. You're given, obviously you're given lethal weapons, but you're also given stuff like sleep darts and a sleeper hold that you can use. Stuff that generally you're trying to make sure you go in, get out, you know, without making as little of a ruckus as you possibly can. And because of that, the game worlds are designed, every single part of it is designed so that you can basically approach every single mission in a dozen different ways. So, like, for example, the first person you're actually sent out to assassinate, you can basically get rid of them a couple different ways. You can straight up just stab them if you want, but that, which, you know, is a little messy, and it tends to, you know, it tends to attract too much attention if you do that. So instead, what you can do is you can poison his drink. And the thing is, midway through the mission, you find out that he's actually already planning on poisoning someone else. So you can actually switch the drinks so that he ends up being the one that drinks the poison. There's another one later on down the line where instead of actively killing your mark, you can actually pay someone else to kidnap them and take them into the salt mines that they own. So they basically end up working there for the rest of their lives. You know, little stuff like that. And also, of course, because you're constantly trying to make sure that you're not seen, and you're always looking for ledges and rafters and, you know, air ducts and stuff that you can walk on, you know, like from the ceiling or from a high enough standpoint so that you don't have to, so that you can wander around without being seen. You very quickly kind of learn how to deal with essentially come up with the idea of, okay, I need to get up with this ledge and I can position myself here so that if this guy walks underneath me, I can drop down on him and take him out without making too much of a noise. And that ends up happening in real life too, because after you play Dishonored for a while, you'll find yourself like going into a Walmart or whatever and looking up and like, yeah, I could probably climb up there and jump down on someone if I had to. But after I finish that, I've got Dishonored 2 downloading on my PS4. I'll be playing that tonight. But I also played Kingdoms of Amalur: The Re-Reckoning. I played the game back when it originally came out, a few years back. And, you know, it was a really solid action RPG with some fairly solid world building and some pretty good combat. And the art direction wasn't terribly bad. I can totally sort of understand why the game kind of flew under the radar, though. Because as good as it is, it's also kind of generic in a lot of ways. And of course, as most people know, it was originally meant to be sort of like the first taste for like an MMO that never came out. And, you know, he ended up conning the people of Rhode Island out of like millions of dollars. If you can get a hold of it, you know, it's definitely worth playing. It definitely, though, still plays very much like the original does, warts and all. So don't expect it to be, you know, absolutely perfect. I've also, still watching Arcane on Netflix. And once again, I must tell everybody that show is amazing. Absolutely, unbelievably amazing. You do not need to know anything about League of Legends going into it, okay? It's like, I barely know anything about League of Legends, and I'm still loving the hell out of it. It's an amazing show. You know, the show basically tells you everything that you need to know fairly, you know, without, you know, overwhelming you with info dumps or anything like that. It's not, you know, and again, you don't need to know anything about League of Legends to understand it or enjoy it at all. It's fantastic. And really, other than that, I'm still just kind of recovering from the food coma, like I said earlier. We had a pretty small Thanksgiving this year. It was just me, my parents, and my grandmother, because I think I mentioned this last week. My aunt and uncle were essentially stuck in a hospital in Statesboro because my uncle had to get a kidney removed. My cousins, you know, were kind of stuck elsewhere. So it was basically just the four of us, but we certainly did not skimp on the food because holy crap. And like I said, still recovering from it today. But, so do we have anything else that we want to add before we move on?
Nope.
No? All right. Well, then. With that, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week, I didn't really have anything terribly over the top or anything, but it is kind of interesting because it's one of those things where it's like, okay, so have you ever heard of, like, you know, when like a show or a game is coming out and so they come up with like a publicity stunt or some type of advertisement and it ends up just sort of spiraling wildly out of control? Like, maybe a game will put out like an advertisement and it ends up causing, you know, a sort of controversy. Like for example, back when Resident Evil was first coming out, I think it was like Resident 2, and there was this one billboard that was like basically just an image of a bathtub that was filled with human blood, and it caused this big controversy. People was like, you know, about violence in the media and stuff. You know, stuff like that. But what if I told you about a bit of advertising, a bit of sort of, say, publicity work that not only backfired, it ended up causing a bomb scare and a national, like, controversy in the middle of one of the more tense parts of America in American history? Chris, are you familiar with Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Yeah.
Yeah. Back in 2007, well, actually, it was kind of like 2006, 2007. All throughout the United States, Adult Swim and, you know, the people who were behind Adult Swim, they came up with this idea of going around various cities, and next to various cities, they would put up these enormous LED placards, you know, LED light-emitting diodes. These LED placards depicting the Moonanites. Do you remember who the Moonanites were in that show?
Yeah, it's like those stupid asteroid-looking characters, I think.
Yeah, they were. They kind of looked like they were made.
Or
at least that's what they were trying to be. Yeah, they were basically these like sort of like
space and
bit sort of pixelated looking things. There was two of them. There was the one that was like green, and there was the little smaller one that was like purple and perpetually pissed off all the time. And then there was the bigger one who was like really condescending and thought he was the smartest dude in the room. And they had a thing where they would constantly flip people the bird, you know, which, you know, in the pixelated sort of 6-bit look that they did, it was basically just a line coming up from what was supposed to be their hand. So all over America in big cities, basically Adult Swim put up these little placards, and they would put them all over the places. They would put them, you know, next to buildings. They would put them on overpasses. Sometimes they would attach them to like street lights. And then in 2007, somebody in Boston came about them and called them into the Boston police and fire department because they thought that they were possible bombs. Now, just to sort of give a timeline of what was going on at this particular time period. This was 2007. This was roughly 6 years after 9/11. So obviously, you know, the thing about terrorism was still very much in everybody's mind. So if you were not aware of, what Aqua Teen Hunger Force was, which, you know, at that time period, it was still a fairly niche thing. And the thing was, is that this was right around the time when they were getting ready to release the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie, which, you know, did okay and was okay. And this was kind of like part of their guerrilla marketing campaign for the time. Basically, because of all this sort of happening at the, you know, sort of, and of course at the same time, this was the first, sort of 5 years, 6 year into the Iraq War at the time. And so the phrase IED, or, you know, improvised explosive device, was like on everybody's imagination at that particular time. And basically what happened is that on January 1st, 2007, right around 8:05 a.m., some guy was in his car and he spotted one of these things. And he basically told a police guy at the Transportation Authority in Massachusetts Bay. After that, the Boston Police Department ended up calling in the bomb squad. They then sent in just an army of emergency vehicles. They brought it. There was a live TV crew. Onlookers showed up. And it's hilarious because it's really funny in the sort of hindsight, because there was some weird, like, people legit, like, flipping out. During the preliminary investigation, the police said that there was, quote, some characteristics with IEDs related to the device. Again, just to remind people what this thing was, it was basically a placard that was meant to look like a light bright. You know, and you can't, you know, if you've seen what these things look like in person, you can't really, like, put a serious explosive device on this thing and not, you know, be able to see it. Because, you know, but basically these things were roughly about, they were not terribly large and they were thick. If there was an explosive device attached to them, it would be pretty noticeable. Arguably, the one thing they thought might have been the explosive on it were the batteries that were attached to the underside of it, because, again, this thing needed juice to work. But what happened is the panic kind of spread because people suddenly realized that there was more than one of these things all over the country. And eventually what happened is that Adult Swim themselves had to come on and actually issue a statement. And basically, like, the day after this thing happened, and if you were watching Adult Swim, basically every, because you know how with Adult Swim, they always have their little bumpers, you know, during the commercial break. They basically did nothing. They basically did nothing but put this statement up for the entire night. It basically said, "We regret that they were mistakenly thought to pose a danger. The packages in question are magnetic lights that pose no danger. They are part of an outdoor marketing campaign in 10 cities in support of Adult Swim's animated television show Aqua Teen Hunger Force. They have been in place for 2 or 3 weeks in Boston, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Atlanta, Seattle, Portland, Austin, San Francisco, and Philadelphia. Parent company Turner Broadcasting is in contact with local and federal law enforcement on the exact location of the billboards. We regret that they were mistakenly thought to pose any danger." It also didn't help that apparently they never got any installation permits for these things, which is kind of, you know, admittedly, like a marketing thing, it kind of, you understand, was like, yeah, you kind of make understand why they would want to do this secretly, but when your marketing campaign ends up getting associated with a bomb scare, well, yeah. So ultimately what happened is the whole thing ended up kind of exposing a generation gap. The Boston Globe was famously quoted as saying the marketing campaign exposes a wide generation gap, quoting one 29-year-old blogger as writing, "Repeat after me, authorities, LED, not IED." Get it? The Los Angeles Times editorials derided the Boston officials, remarking, "Emergency personnel and anti-terrorism squads shut down more than a dozen highways, transit stations, and other locations across the city Wednesday after receiving reports about multiple suspicious devices. These slender placement mat size items had dozens of colored lights, exposed wires and circuitry, and were powered by a row of D batteries wrapped in black tape." In other words, they look like an upscale version of Hasbro's Light Bright, a toy for artistic grade schoolers. Supposedly, part of the reaction was due to two packages that did not blink. They were also apparently found what were supposed to be phony pipe bombs that same day, which apparently might have sort of fueled the scare. One of the big issues, though, is that for whatever reason, both the state of Massachusetts and the media kept using the phrase bomb hoax, which is, like, as people have pointed out, these were never meant to be any kind of hoax or even, you know, explosive devices or anything that was meant to get people, you know, suspicious or anything like that. It was just a guerrilla marketing campaign. And they, again, these things were placed there over 2 weeks before this happened. They'd been there for a couple of weeks for this happening. On top of that, there were, you know, like on top of that, there were, like I talked about the bumpers that Adult Swim did. For the first couple of weeks before this, they actually showed like footage of these placards, you know, on in their bumpers, like in between commercial breaks. So it's like people not only knew it what these were, they had been openly showing them on their network. So yeah, so if you want to learn about, all you got to do is go on Wikipedia, go type in 2007 Boston Moon and Night Panic. They've got a whole article about it. They got several examples of what these placards look like. And it's ridiculous. it's one of those examples where a guerrilla marketing campaign and a generation gap can combine with, you know, national hysteria to blow shit way out of proportion. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. All right. Well, with that out of the way, it's now time to start the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we have to start with our assholes of the week. And the big, massive asshole of the week is that guy in Waukesha, Wisconsin, who drove into a holiday parade, killed six people, and injured dozens more.
Yeah. This just happened like shortly after the trial ended.
Yeah, it was, I think it was like the same day.
Maybe. Or the same. Yeah, this was that a Christmas parade that was happening?
Mm-hmm.
And like they have a little bit of video of it before stuff happening up before he actually hits anybody. Or he's like these people are walking with their, like those signs where you have one person on one end, one on the other holding the rod that's holding up the sign, that kind of thing. See this car just goes speeding right past them.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, or like, what the hell's going on? And then just plows into a bunch of people, killed five people initially, all, let's see, 52 and up, parents and grandparents, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Virtually the most recent victim is an 8-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still 16 children that are at the children's hospital nearby, and a bunch of people that were at the the regular adults hospital. Mm-hmm. Still one person there in serious condition. Mm. Fear of fair. Bunch have been released already with minor injuries. But yeah, he's mm-hmm. been charged with 5 counts of first degree intentional homicide. They face a 6th homicide charge over the boy's death.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the... And this isn't a new thing. I think he had just recently had another issue trying to run over a woman.
Yeah, apparently he tried to run over, I think, like an ex-girlfriend or something.
Yeah, which seems to suggest maybe he should have had his license revoked.
Yeah, and apparently on top of that, I mean, extensive record on top of that.
Yeah. I have like a domestic violence and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this guy seems like he was destined to keep this going. Unfortunately, it's unfortunately led to some terrible stuff happening here.
Yeah, and what sort of made it worse was that because this was like the day or like the day after the Kenosha trial, there were a lot of people, both, you know, online and in the media, who were trying to link the two, which was infuriating because, you know, for one thing, you know, it's they were just trying to stoke up some, I guess, some racial tension or something. But
yeah, which is stupid because one, the shooting was during a protest. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like that going on here.
No,
just people having fun with the parade that now is gonna be a bad memory for tons of people.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. And did they say like, because there had been also been going around that apparently he was like running away from something when this happened, like,
yeah, I don't
like
know.
I don't know. The rumor that had been going around is that apparently he got into like a knife fight or something, and he was trying to drive away and get away from whatever was happening. And apparently, you know, it was just one of those things where he was trying to get away and they were in the way or whatever. But that's the rumor. I don't know how much stock I would put into it.
Yeah, the only thing I saw here is like there was no police chase ahead of this.
Mm-hmm. But anyway. And also, 3 of the biggest pharmacy chains in the United States have all been found liable for helping to fuel the U.S. opioid epidemic. And you can pretty much name them off. You know which ones it is.
Yeah, CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart.
Yep.
Happening here in Ohio in Lake and Trumbull counties.
Mm-hmm.
By selling and dispensing huge quantities of prescription pain pills.
Yep.
Some of those medications initially purchased legally wound up being sold on the black market.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is going to be a thing that sets a precedent for many others happening around the country.
Mm-hmm.
A separate legal proceeding will now take place to determine how much the companies will have to pay to help remedy the crisis, with damages likely to run into the billions of dollars.
Mm.
At least Walmart will be able to deal with that just fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how big CVS and Walgreens are.
Oh, they're pretty big. They'll be able to weather it. But yeah, because the thing is, you got to remember that part of the reason it was able to grow as fast as it did was because of the underhanded deals that a lot of the doctors made with the pharmacists to basically shovel these things out.
Yeah.
Just a little recommendation if you want to watch a nice documentary on Netflix, there's one called The Pharmacist, specifically about a guy who was a pharmacist whose son died of a heroin overdose because he got addicted to the opioids, and he started doing a little bit of research himself, and he came to sort of find out what the, you know, how unbelievably corrupt the system had become. So, but fortunately, it's not all bad. We do have some heroes of the week to talk about. And mostly the hero of this week is the justice system, because we got three men who are rightfully convicted of murder and two instances of people getting exonerated for crimes they were wrongly convicted of. And the first one is the three men that were involved in killing Ahmaud Arbery were all found guilty of murder along with several other charges.
Yeah, they got the list here. So it was malice murder, one count each. Mm-hmm. Only one of them is guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
Felony murder, there's four counts each. Two are guilty on all four counts. One's guilty on three. Mm-hmm. Aggravated assault, two counts each. Two are guilty on both counts. One only gets one of them.
Mm-hmm.
False imprisonment, which all are guilty of that.
Yep.
Criminal attempt to commit false imprisonment. All are guilty of that as well. Which, the people tried to use this outcome as being like, see, there's no racism in the justice system. It's like, this is one trial.
Yeah, and also there's the fact, for those who don't know, the DA responsible for this was recently indicted because
there were no charges on this until the video came out.
Yeah, and keep in mind, the charges didn't happen until 2 weeks after this happened.
Yeah, when a public video went out. It's not that the cops didn't have this video.
Yeah.
But until it went out publicly, and they got lots of criticism over their handling of this.
Yeah, and now the district attorney who was responsible for it has been indicted because she specifically sat on this. And now all of the cases she was involved with are going to be under review by the FBI.
And also this, Arbery would have been alive if it wasn't for the racism of these three men.
Yeah. And also anybody who watched the trial could tell very quickly, the defense had nothing.
Yeah, they filmed themselves, didn't they? Didn't they film themselves doing this?
Yes, they filmed themselves. They actually filmed the whole thing.
Very convenient to film all the evidence you need, most of the evidence.
And they filmed it, and it's like, it was the perfect example of a person exonerating themselves in their own crime while performing it on film. Because, they basically shared their motive, they showed how they did it.
It's like that bit in the Boondocks, the R. Kelly trial. They're like, we can't tell this is R. Kelly. And he answers the phone and says, yes, this is Robert Kelly. My social security number is this. It shows his face and all this. And it's like, they're like, well, what's our next strategy?
What happened is at the final, the final statements that they made before, the jury was going to deliberate. Basically, the defense unloaded a bunch of outdated race tropes, and it was that was it. They had nothing.
They were complaining about black pastor being at the trial in the audience.
And outside, who were having a rally.
That was afterwards. We're like, well, you're complaining about one, which was, who was the guy that was, that showed up?
I have no idea.
it was one of the.
But then there was.
Yeah.
Then there was, what's her name, who was there talking about how, he was there wearing sneakers to hire his dirty long toenails. And it's it was just weird. Just to remind everybody what happened, Ahmaud Arbery had basically gone to a house that was under construction just to look around. And they have the their surveillance camera when he was there. He just went there, he looked around, then he left. He didn't take anything. You know, nothing was stolen. And I don't know about that's a thing that we do here down here all the time. In fact, the house flippers and everybody, they specifically encourage that because they think it'll get them potential customers.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It was Al Sharpton I was thinking of. He was
there. Oh, well, yeah, he's everywhere, so.
Yeah. But he was there specifically supporting the family, and they were complaining about it.
I mean, to be fair, Sharpton is kind of a polarizing figure, but it was ultimately. Yeah, it had no. Yeah, he was invited.
By the family. Yeah.
It's really no wonder that, like, it didn't take them that long either, did it?
Like, they opted to stay late one night. Finish it up.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was that. We do not know when the sentencing is supposed to be. But in other legal news of people being exonerated, the Groverland Four, they were exonerated after being wrongly accused of raping a white woman some 70 years ago today.
Yep. This happened in 1949.
Mm-hmm.
These men ranged 16 to 26 years old, were accused of this. Unfortunately, I believe all of them are dead at this point, but their families got to at least celebrate that the record has been officially set now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of a remnant of the Jim Crow era in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unfortunately, they were not anywhere near the only ones that had these issues.
Let's see. A man convicted of three murders in 1979 is now free after a judge's ruling.
Yeah, this was in 1979, about 40 years. So he's 62 now.
Mm-hmm.
He's always maintained that he was home watching television, had nothing to do with the killings, which happened when he was 18 years old. He learned the decision when the news scrolled across the television screen as he was watching a soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
This was in the prison. This last part was. Said, I'm not necessarily angry. It's a lot. I think I've created emotions that you all don't know about just yet. Joy, sorrow, fear. I'm trying to figure out how to put them together. Mm. He said he would like to get involved in efforts to keep this from happening to someone else.
Mm.
Saying the criminal justice system needs to be torn down and redone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much the end of that story.
The attorney general in Missouri that fought to keep him incarcerated is a Republican that's running for the U.S. Senate. So, great news for him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. With that, we're now moving on to the proper show proper. And we do not actually have a COVID-19 dump truck thing for you this week because we only have one COVID story. But it's the big one that was this week, which is some scientists in South Africa have detected a new COVID-19 variant, which they're calling the Omicron variant. But before you get concerned, just know that most of the other countries have already taken precautions and that apparently the actual effects of this particular variant are fairly mild. But go ahead, Chris.
Still need to do some testing on that. But yeah, this whole story is a bit weird because a number of because stories people are
flip. Right. Yeah, because people flip the hell out.
Then a number of stories are framing this as this variant is running wild in South Africa, which is not the case at all. It's
South Africa has one of the most sophisticated immunological frameworks in the industrialized world.
Yeah, so they They had scientists there that discovered this new variant.
Mm-hmm.
That's a potential concern.
Mm-hmm.
And so that now, like, the UK is banning flights from South Africa and 5 other southern African countries. Mm-hmm. I know I saw some tweets from some people in some of those countries, like, we've had no deaths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, 20 cases or whatever. It's like, what is the problem you guys are having with us?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not rampant there.
Nope.
Probably going to be more rampant in the countries where COVID's just gone wild
mm-hmm.
at some point. But yeah, there's just not enough information yet to know how widespread it is,
mm-hmm.
how dangerous it could be. Yet it seems potentially more resistant to the vaccines and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's still more work to be done on it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the UK, the US, and the EU are kind of banning travel to and from South Africa, and it's like,
for the time being, yes.
Which it's not really an issue here.
No, but
hopefully yeah. It gets rescinded as they realize it's not really an issue.
Yeah,
as much as it's been reported.
No, it's just, it sounds bad, but the truth is, according to places I've read, like, the worst that this variant causes is, like, some mild muscle soreness and maybe a headache, and then it's gone after a couple days.
Yeah.
And apparently, like, people who are fully vaccinated are still able to basically avoid it. And the ones that do get, like, breakthrough symptoms, theirs are extremely mild, if nigh unnoticeable. So it's not the doomsday scenario like they made it out to be. It's mostly just, hey, you know, guys, you might want to just keep a little eye on this. And then the media with it, and they ran with it all the way into hell.
Yeah, the stupid parts of the media. It's like,
but,
you need somebody actually knowledgeable about this stuff to frame this the right way.
Yeah.
Instead of doing the most clickbait headline kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because that's how you cause panics.
Yeah. And now, and that's exactly what they ended up because the stocks basically tumbled the day that the new variant was announced.
I'm fine with that. Make the oil companies.
It's actually helped with oil futures are down, which means that the gas prices are going down.
Well, I think we're also releasing our reserves.
Yeah.
In some way, and I think Biden's proposing fines for companies that are just raising their prices for no reason.
Yeah.
Other than they can.
Yeah. What's funny is I know people like bitching about gas prices. And the thing is, I was in high school when gas actually got over $4 a gallon. And
it was under a dollar.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, oh no, gas is over $3 a gallon. It's like, yeah, friggin' ripper.
You know why it's over that much? Because people are driving well more than they were even 2 years ago when this wasn't an issue.
Yeah. But,
they want all the money they can get out of those people.
Yeah. Now for a bit of legal battery. South Dakota basically recently voter passed amendment that would legalize marijuana in their state. And then this week, their Supreme Court nullified it.
Yeah, this is a whole weird thing. So the amendment that was voted got 54% of voters. Approval
mm-hmm.
That I think it would legalize recreational marijuana, medical marijuana, and hemp.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they potentially have some sort of state requirement for constitutional amendments to deal with just one subject.
Yeah.
And that's, they should have had votes for, you know, one for recreational marijuana, one for medical marijuana, and one for hemp.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the technicality they're getting on this.
Mm.
Of course, led by Governor Kristi Noem, wanting to shoot this down ASAP. Which yeah. is always great.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this will literally make your state a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been any negative repercussions for any state that has had this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Other than just legalizing something that should be.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out of the, you know, the sketchy place it's been for several decades. And make your state lots of money.
Yep.
From all the taxes and such. Would also help if you have it federally legal as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now we got some other news that's just like, this is some bullshit. So, dollar stores. Chris, you ever visit dollar stores? Like any kind of dollar stores, dollar store, Dollar General, you know?
Every once in a while.
Yeah. They can be, you know, fairly, you know, if you're low on funds, they can be kind of a lifesaver. Yeah. But you kind of go in there knowing what you're paying for. It's cheap goods at a cheap price.
Yeah. If you want to see the most budget-ass DVD compilations, you can find them there.
Yeah. I mean, on occasion, they have some good stuff, but... Yeah. You know, it's one, yeah, especially when you go into the electronics part of the store where they basically jumble everything together.
Yeah. Like everything that doesn't sell, like the clearance, whatever.
Yeah.
Pile of DVDs and shit.
Yeah. Dollar Tree is one of those stores, and they recently announced that they are raising their prices from $1 to $1.25.
Yeah, and people are blaming Biden for this, which is not. It's called greed, corporate greed. Because
mm-hmm.
They do quite well. They believe last fiscal year they made over $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That's with selling stuff for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like they're going to potentially try at... They've been doing some testing... with like products at $3 and $5.
Mm-hmm.
And announced plans to try $1.25 and $1.50 at some traditional Dollar Tree locations. Mm-hmm. Now they said that test 2 was overwhelmingly positive. So yeah, they said to abide by their $1 restriction, they had to stop selling some sizes and products, but now hopes to return that stuff back to the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
This is all just them being penny pinchers to maximize the amount of money they can get. So it's like, well, if we can charge 25% more for our products, that's 25% more money for us.
Yep.
Because I assume their people are not paid that well.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't double-checked what that is, but I assume they're probably not getting paid as much as people at the more high-end grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But there you go. It's not Biden's fault. it's the execs wanting more money.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
But insert your joke about how they need to change it to $1.25 tree.
Yeah. $1.25 tree. Yeah. It's kind of like when, you know, you go to Subway and get wrong and it ends up being like 50 and the sub's only like 11 inches.
Yeah.
But anyway, now for some science news. NASA recently launched its DART mission so that they could use a spacecraft to ram into a near-Earth asteroid in case, you know, an asteroid was ever headed toward Earth and they needed somehow to make it change its direction so it wouldn't hit Earth.
Yeah, what was the movie that they did this to? Was it...
There's like two or three. There's like Armageddon. Deep Impact.
Deep Impact, I think it was, where they did something. I know Armageddon's where they put the like nuke in the middle of it to split it in half.
Yeah, that was the one with Bruce Willis. And yeah, like the whole idea was that they would land the spacecraft on a... I think it was actually like a comet that they had to land on and then put like some kind of explosive device into it that they could.
It was an asteroid if it was going to hit the Earth.
Yeah, and they had to like put a explosive device of some kind, and then Aerosmith had a number one hit song. So
yeah.
But yeah, like both those movies came out the same year and basically had like the same plot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It says here, let's see. They launch a short time later with a crew of 5 American astronauts and 1 Russian cosmonaut down the comet's surface and drill the nuclear bombs deep beneath the surface. This is deep impact. Mm-hmm. But the work takes longer. Let's see. The crew escapes the comet and detonates the bombs. Rather than deflect the comet, the bomb splits it in 2. Okay, like the bigger one is going to miss, or I don't know what it...
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Yeah, they try to shoot it with ICBMs and it fails.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think the bigger one hits somewhere else and the smaller one is the one that actually hits. I forget what it was. I don't know, the bigger one, like, blows up into smaller pieces, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we would be fine here in Ohio. You guys would be drowned, I think, because it basically goes up to like the Appalachian Mountains, Ohio Valley kind of certain area. But yeah, this thing, there's the DART mission, the double asteroid redirection test. It's going to be hitting a asteroid that is heading for the Earth. Nothing that's going to cause any major damage. But in September 2022, just ram it into a fucking asteroid, near-Earth asteroid, and see how that going to be impacted. They're going to hit Dimorphos, a small moon orbiting the near-Earth asteroid Didymos. The agency's first full-scale demonstration of this type of technology on behalf of their planetary defense. Sort of sector, I guess. Also be the first time humans have altered the dynamics of a solar system body in a measurable way. Yeah, 'cause we typically don't try to fuck with comets and moons and asteroids and shit. For people who don't know, we get hit with asteroids all the time. They mostly burn up. Occasionally just getting like small rocks that hit and people find them and sell them on eBay and shit.
Yep.
Like I saw a story about somebody finding one that had gold in it or something. I forget what it was. Yeah, there's a camera on the spacecraft called Draco. Sending for Didymos for reconnaissance and asteroid camera for OpNav. They're going to deliberately crash it into Dimorphos to change the asteroid's motion in space. Collision will be recorded by Leica Cube, light Italian CubeSat for imaging of asteroids. A comparison cube satellite provided by the Italian Space Agency. So yeah, they're doing lots of testing here, seeing how it happen, how this stuff works, and formulating plans based on that.
Yeah,
I assume they're probably not going to be like dislodging it from this orbit, and then it just comes headed for us. I assume not.
Yeah,
but maybe we get a movie about that.
Yeah.
Like the one we're getting in February from, what's his face, about the moon crashing into the Earth. But not because of anything we did, but because of, like, aliens. Where, like, the secret twist is that they've hinted at. But, yeah, some fun science stuff there.
All right, and now we got a couple of entertainment stories here. First and foremost, Dave Chappelle. He made a kind of surprise appearance at his old high school, and let's just say he got kind of a mixed reception.
Yeah, he apparently showed up because there was very much kind of a bit of a protest of sorts of people not wanting them to name a part of the school after him. In the wake of his, you know, Netflix special where he very much was like bragging that he's a TERF now. Decided to show up at the high school after being like disinvited from the reunion. that they're going to be having for his year, which he was like, I wasn't going to go anyway, so who cares? But finally, he showed up to, like, get apologies from the students. And they're very much like, what the fuck are you talking about? Eight students are understood to have questioned Chappelle directly. Among them, a 16-year-old who called Dave Chappelle a bigot. Said, I'm 16, and I think you're childish. You handled it like a child.
I mean, he's not wrong.
According to two students who relayed the conversation to Politico the following day, Chappelle responded, my friend, with all due respect, I don't believe you can make one of the decisions I have to make on a given day. Which is like, is he saying, like, I'm too rich. I'm so rich that I make more important decisions than you would ever do.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's like, what the fuck are you... You're showing up at a high school. What the fuck are you bragging about? Some parents, you know, were unhappy that Chappelle had used the N-word during his Q&A when a student told him, your comedy kills. Chappelle responded using the N-word, saying redacted or killed every day. They are complaining that he talked and said the N-word. If anything, Dave is putting the school on the map. Which is a very, like, self-serving statement to make. Let's see. Express another question. Chappelle told the performing arts school students, I'm better than every instrumentalist artist. No matter what art you do in this school right now, I'm better than all of you. I'm sure that will change. I'm sure you'll be household names soon.
Yeah, that's the part where it's like, oh, okay, I think even his supporters would be like, okay, you've lost it.
Like, you're just going to the high school just to talk shit to the students, like, I'm better than you. It's like, no shit, you've, like, one of the most famous comedians in the world. Let's see.
Like, that's just ego.
Yeah, despite the criticisms, Chappelle appeared to harbor no ill will against the students. At one point, he turned to the camera to condemn potential death threats against the pupils who had protested him. His old tone changed. One of the students told Politico, he said, this is my family. Whether they know it or not, I love these kids. I don't want to hear about any threats to these kids. These kids don't deserve that. He was really kind. If only he had acted that way the whole time. There was no reason to be mean to us. He was just laughing at kids. I was like, yeah, it's like, acting like a giant fucking baby. Wanting them to, like, worship him when they're like, no, fuck you. Getting mad at them. It's like, what'd you expect?
Yeah.
They're teenagers. They're not going to fucking worship you when you're saying stupid shit.
But, and finally, last story for the night. It's from HBO Max. They announced this week that they accidentally uploaded, instead of the, you know, full original version of Birds of Prey, you know, the one with Harley Quinn, they accidentally uploaded the TV-14 version.
Sure.
Yeah, that, for those who don't know, when, you know, big major movies like that, they'll usually, like, have somewhat cut so that they can, you know, play it on national television. And apparently that's the version they accidentally uploaded to their streaming service.
The thing is, Birds of Prey was already on it.
Yeah.
So they took it down for this version, which, you know, takes out, like, middle fingers, replaces it with, like, versions where she has, like, two fingers up instead. Changes curses, all that kind of stuff. But it's very weird. And then they're like, oh, we accidentally uploaded this and we can't fix it for a bit. It'll take us a while to fix it. It's like, what? You somehow accidentally did this thing. It's like, there's no reason they couldn't have both. Especially if you're going to have, because I think when you launch HBO Max, it's like, who is this? Because you could have different profiles. So if, like, it's a kid or, you know, a teen on there, you could have the censored version show up for, you know, a younger kid, younger teen, whatever. But I was like, there's no reason these services have to have just one version of a movie at any time. Much like when the Simpsons thing for Disney Plus happened, where it's like, here's the You know, the widescreen versions of these 4x3 episodes, it's like, you could have that and the original versions. There's no reason you don't have to. Then it's like such a huge back-end thing for them, because that's a huge-ass show versus just a one movie thing. But yeah, I don't buy this excuse on their end. I was like, oh, we accidentally did this. Because, like, you did a lot of work for this accident.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. I believe, yeah, that's the last story we got for this for tonight. Like we said, it didn't have a whole lot to work with this week, but yeah, I think we made it work this time. I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for it in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if you like the show, you know, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies' family. You know, they may all hate you, but they may actually like us. Well, doesn't that just make the world go round? Well, anyway, that is it for this week. I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and thank you, Chris Logie, for joining me once again this week. We'll have hopefully more people joining us again next week. And you guys know it's getting to be that time of year. It's fast approaching, so there will be holiday chaos to deal with in the next few weeks. So we'll be letting you know about scheduling for shows and whether or not we'll be doing a show or not that particular week. In fact, I think, yeah, if I can look at my, don't worry about it, whatever. We'll talk about that all later. But anyway, thank you for watching. Stay for all of you. Good night. Sleep tight. And if you have not been vaccinated yet, please get vaccinated, because I would like to be able to leave my house without a mask sometime in my life. Good night, everybody.